Tonight I want to speak to you about a look at Peter's broken heart. A text, Luke chapter 22, verse 54 through 62. I titled the message, The Look That Broke Peter's Heart. Luke chapter 22, verse 54 through 62. Then took they him and led him and besought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, "This fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Shall we pray together? Father, thank you for this message on the Apostle Peter, a great man of God, that God used in a very special way, past and yes, present and in the future. Bless this message tonight. Use it to your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. There is no more interesting human character found in the Word of God than this man, Peter. He was so human, so full of good intentions, but he was impulsive, and he was full of blunders. And he didn't always say or do the right thing. But bless his heart, he would say and do something. And even he did put his foot in his mouth many times. You had to give a man an A for effort. He was not always the best at watching and praying, but he's an expert at cutting off ears. Father, bless this message to your name's honor and glory, in Jesus' name. Now, sometimes he hit the nail on the head. And other times he missed it completely. But give him credit. He made an effort. One reason we appreciate Peter so much is that so many of us are so much like him as far as mistakes are concerned. We find encouragement in Peter. Now, if the Lord could take Simon Peter with all his crudeness and make out of him an apostle and saint, then I believe there's hope for us. But the Lord Jesus Christ is never surprised at the many things that you and I do. So my thought in bringing this message tonight is to learn a few lessons from this very unusual character, and especially this look of Christ that broke his heart. The first thing we see about this man, Peter, was his self-confidence. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said to Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. But Peter insisted that all men might fail the Lord, but not him, not Peter, no way. You can count on me, Lord, I'll never fail you. Now, was Peter a hypocrite? Never. He was genuine, he was sincere, and he meant every word he said. But the trouble with Peter was his lack of knowledge. And like you and I, he did not know himself. He did not know that deadly, dangerous, internal, treacherous foe that carnality can be at times. He did not know the power of the devil and the fiery darts that would be hurled at him. Peter did not know the power of temptation. Peter felt he was equal to any occasion. But he was sadly mistaken. It's so easy for you and I to think the same way. Oftentimes, in fact, too often, we let the flesh mislead us, and down we go. The second thing we see about this man, Peter, is his denial and his fall. Notice, he fell after he had been warned. Now, if ever a man had been warned faithfully, certainly it was Peter. I want you to listen to this warning that was given to him. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Now notice, God calls his name twice. But God is faithful. And I doubt that a soul has ever fallen without first being warned in some manner. For example, Adam was warned in the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, God has never failed to warn first. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, don't be fooled. Just as Satan desired Peter, he desires each one of you. And he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he will desire. But he's even more dangerous when he comes as an angel of light. But God says we are not to be ignorant of his tactics or his devices. So let's take a closer look at the steps leading to Peter's fall. First, he slept in Gethsemane when he should have been praying. And Jesus said to him, Peter, could you not watch just 1 hour with me? When a great battle is fought, there's always constant preparation to be made. I was part of the invasion of Europe back in years ago, too many years to think of. They sent us to Africa first. And there in Africa for a solid week, we learned all about the enemy we could. We were told what we was going to do, how we was going to go about it. And what I liked more than anything else, they had a huge empty room, a place of prayer. all the soldiers were told to go to that place if they would like to pray. And every time I went, the place was filled. You and I are in a very terrific battle today. And we must remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principles and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, the devil, as well as fallen angels and the entire hosts of hell itself. And believe me, it's a never-ending battle in this life. And Satan will do all he can to deceive you and cause you to sin. Then again, we see Peter following afar off. Folks, that's very dangerous when you follow Jesus afar off. Now, it might be done for just a short time, but not for a long time, believe me. And anyone who follows Jesus afar off, unless he repents and returns, will soon not be following him at all. Yes, we can walk with God today. Why not? Enoch did it, and he lived in a very wicked age with a large family to care for. But he kept pace with God, and he walked with God every day of his life. Peter also warmed himself at the wrong fire. Now think of Peter warming himself by the fire of the enemies of Jesus Christ. If we can warm ourselves and enjoy it at any fire the enemies of Jesus have made, believe me, you and I are on dangerous ground. Now, the problem in the church today is the fact that many, many professing Christians are warming themselves around the fires of Satan and his crowd. Peter also stood and sat with the wrong crowd. First we read that he stood with the enemy's crowd, and then later he moved in and sat with them. But that's the way sin is. It's progressive. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So, Peter first, and rather timidly, approached this crowd of Christ haters. Then he became more comfortable with them, and then he moved in and took a seat with them. Now, I ask you this question, be honest with yourself. Can you be comfortable among the world of Christ rejectors? I believe something is wrong with your Christian life if you can. You should be alarmed because you're losing ground. Jesus said himself, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Peter also openly denied Jesus Christ. And when a little girl pointed her finger at Peter and accused him of being a disciple of Jesus, Peter immediately denied he ever knew who Jesus Christ was. And then after that, we're told, he began to curse. What a sad picture. From sleeping in Gethsemane when he should have been alert and praying, now this. Just a few hours before, Peter had declared his dying allegiance to Jesus Christ. Now here's a lesson for you and I. May God help us all to see how easy it is to break God's heart, as well as our own and even our family, when we wander away from the paths that God has set before us. The next thing we see in this man, Peter, is his awakening. Now, what it was that brought Peter to himself, something must have took place. It was a crow of that rooster that literally pierced Peter's heart with the words that Jesus had spoken. Mark chapter 14, verse 30 tells us, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he went out and thought on these things, we are told he wept bitterly. Luke, the physician, is the only one of the gospel writers who speaks of Peter's looks. And Luke says, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And immediately Peter remembered the words of the Lord. And then Peter went out, and we're told he wept bitterly." You see, sin was doing its deadly work. But God is gracious. He does not forsake his own willingly. Always, always, God does his very best to keep every one of us out of trouble. If you and I get in trouble, it's our own fault. And in Peter's case, God used the crowing of a rooster to remind Peter of his wicked denial. Now, you may think that's a small thing, but believe me, it worked. Oftentimes, insignificant things become great events, such as a barking dog, or the crying of a child, or a gust of wind. But in this case, it was a rooster. And the look Jesus gave Peter was also a convicting look. And when all this took place, I do not know. It doesn't say. All I know is that Jesus turned and looked straight in the eyes of Peter. Not a word was said, just a look. That was enough. I recall as a youngster, I had a teacher in school. When she looked at you, that's all that needed to be said. I was guilty. I knew it, no arguments whatsoever. And I'm sure that Peter, as long as he lived, never forgot that look that the Lord gave him. It penetrated the very soul of Peter. It was also a disappointed look that Jesus knew of Peter's denial. Nevertheless, it grieved him. And I believe Peter knew this, and I believe Peter saw in that disappointed look a hurt that literally reached the very soul of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Peter, I heard and I saw when you were ashamed of me, when you followed me afar off. I saw you stood with my enemies. I saw you when you finally took a seat with them. I saw you as you enjoyed warming yourselves around the enemy's fire. I heard you as you denied me and said, 'I do not know this man.' I heard you as you cursed and swore. Peter, I saw and heard you, and believe me, it hurts." Now, let me bring all of this up to date, right up to our present day. Remember now, this is important. Keep this in mind. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, does he see us as his professed followers as we act today? Can he count on us every day of our lives to be true and faithful in his word? Some time ago, I was talking to a pastor from another denomination, and he said to me, "Bloom, if I preach the gospel and laid it on the line, my people would get rid of me." Well, he's still their pastor, and the Lord knows his heart, and he'll face him someday and give an account for his cowardice. I wonder if Jesus sees the teacher, the choir member, or the deacon, or any member of this church who is just a little ashamed of Jesus and his narrow teaching. The one who seeks to hide his identity and avoid the reproach by being sufficiently conformed to the world so as to escape criticism and not be branded as some fanatic. Now the big question is Jesus Christ still being wounded in the house of his friends? And am I guilty? Am I guilty? The next thing we see in this man, Peter, was his reaction to the painful look that our Lord gave to him. I sort of imagine that painful look that Jesus gave Peter could be put into these words. "Peter, you thought you were just taking care of yourself and avoiding trouble, but all the time you were grieving me. Peter, Judas has betrayed me. And on the other hand, Peter, under the excitement and stress and strain of the ordeal, was overtaken." Now I want you to notice two things Peter did immediately afterwards. First, he went out, that is, he left the crowd who were the enemies of Christ, and that's the only way for any Christian: come out from among them and be ye separate. I remember a man saying to me one day, "Pastor, I was worried about my old buddies, what they were going to say when they found out I become a Christian. But you know something? After I got saved, I never could locate that crowd again. I didn't leave them. They left me." Then the second thing Peter did was weep. And the Bible tells us he wept bitterly. Now, I can just imagine Peter in my mind. He finds a lonely place, gets on his knees, and with tears of repentance streaming down his cheeks, he confesses his shortcomings. Now, you talk about someone praying through. Believe me, that's one time that Peter did. What a great burden that must have been lifted from him. I'm sure that Peter grieved until his dying day for his crime. But at the same time, he was conscious that God had forgiven him and that his sin was under the blood, never to be remembered against him anymore. Friends, Christ never, for even a single moment, held that sin against Peter. It was completely forgiven. And when God forgives you of a sin, I don't care what sin it is, when he forgives you, it's complete to be remembered against you no more. That's the way it works for you and I. Yes, there are times you and I disappoint our Lord. We sin, we have our shortcomings, and oftentimes we walk with a guilty conscience that But when we confess our sins, as the Bible tells us, He is willing and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you recall that a little later on, Jesus confronted Peter and asked him the question, "Peter, do you love me?" In fact, three times he said to Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter denied the Lord three times. Now, three times the Lord asked Peter if he loves him. Now, friend, this word of God says that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Sorrow in this world is often deep. Sometimes it's too deep for words. But joy in Christ is always an absolutely unspeakable, and I might say, full of glory. And always remember that Jesus Christ is always the master of circumstances. Remember in Mark chapter 4, they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and suddenly a storm arose. And his disciples were fearful and cried out to him, "Master, Master, carest not that we perish?" He arose, rebuked the winds, and said, "Peace be still." And there was a great calm. These disciples had to learn that Jesus was not merely a passenger on board, but the captain of their life. Yes, storms do indeed come into our lives at times. And I believe they come in our lives at times to help us learn to know Him better, and to trust Him more and understand that He is a master of life itself. Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus wants us to love Him. He wants us to love Him more than anything else. Now, this might get to you. More than our homes. More than our wives, more than our husbands, or anything you can name. Why not? Why not? Remember, because all these good things that you have in your home or your home itself come from God. He therefore deserves first place in your lives. Thank God Peter was fully restored to fellowship and recommissioned to do the Lord's work. And if you're here tonight unsaved, even as Jesus Christ looked with compassion upon Peter and forgave him, so also He looks upon your life. And whatever you are, whatever you've done, I don't care what it is or how bad the sin, He's willing to forgive you. He's willing to forgive you. And you may be sitting here right now believing that you are the worst sinner that ever lived. And you may be guilty of doing every sin imaginable and think there is no hope for you whatsoever. But did you know that Jesus Christ loves you despite your sin as much as He loves me or anyone else? That's right. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And this world He's talking about is everyone. That means He loves us all. And He's willing right now to cast all of your sins in the sea of forgetfulness and start you out clean with no strings attached. All you have to do from your heart is confess to Him you're a sinner needing to be saved, then trust Him to save you and he will do for you immediately. And if you're here tonight, a Christian, a wayward Christian, don't be wayward any longer. Christ is your friend. He's your Savior. He loves you. And he'll forgive whatever you've done and give you a new start. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all the promises that you give. And every promise is real. Every promise comes from your lips. And I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight that each one of us would take inventory of our own personal lives and see whether or not we need to kneel before him tonight and confess some sin that we've been holding on to so that God might use us for his aims on in glory and for what is accomplished. We should give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.